to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning. Good morning, Columbia CSL. And all of everybody who is tuning in and all of you who are new today, welcome, welcome, welcome. And yes, the theme of the month is Everyday Wonder. And so we're I'm going to change it up just a little bit because at the beginning of each year, it is a tradition of Science, Mind, and Spirit to go through the four first sections of the Science of Mind textbook, right? So we kind of review those sections. And so in the first week of this month, well, let me back it up. So that for this week, this section is how to use it. So going to the first week, Dr. Ernest Holmes talks about the thing itself. With a capital T and a capital I, the thing itself. And in this section, Dr. Holmes reminds us that the seed of freedom must be planted in the innermost being of mankind. But like the prodigal son, mankind must make the great discovery for himself, right? So there's within us this seed of freedom, the seed of abundance, the seed of creativity. But because we are created in such a beautiful way, we are left to our own devices to seek that out. And like the prodigal son, there's a line in that story where it says, and the prodigal son, and he came to himself, right? He woke up to himself. So in other words, as Dr. Holmes reminds us, we are to wake up to the truth that we are surrounded by and immersed in a power and a presence that is the thing itself. You can call it God. You can call it universal intelligence, divine intelligence. You can call it spirit. This is what you want to know, though, is that it is who and what you are. Yes, we are surrounded by the thing itself, but here is what we want to really get to is that you are the thing itself. You are the way that love shows up. You are the way that creativity shows up. You are, just take Jill, right? The thing itself flows in through and as Jill, and it touches us. And the reason why it touches us is because we are all connected, right? Week two, we got to cover, there we go. In the second week, we covered the way it works. Okay, we have the thing itself, and now the way it works. Here, Dr. Holmes tells us that spirit works for us by working through us, right? Spirit works for us by working through us. Now, for it to work through us, we are to be open, we are to be receptive, we are to be available to first accepting that we are created from the thing itself. Right? You've heard it said before that we are created in the spiritual image, the spiritual likeness of God, right? And so it's been mankind's, it seems to be, it has been mankind's challenge to reverse or return the favor, right? Making God into the image of mankind, where man is jealous, so then God must be jealous, right? And we need all of this, so God must need all of that. But let's stay on the path of knowing that we are created in the spiritual image and spiritual likeness of the divine, and with that, we start to work with how that flows, right? So we are to be open, receptive, and available to knowing that we are the thing itself. And then if we are created in the image and likeness of God, then let's act like it. If we are created with and we are created in, we are created from infinite consciousness, then let us behave like that. Because the way it works is that this creative intelligence works for us by working through us. It works through us by corresponding to our thoughts and our feelings. There is an ancient Hermetic teaching called the Kabbalion, K-Y-B-A-L-I-O-N. And the very first principle says, the all is mind, the universe is mental. The all is mind, the universe is mental. And this is where we start to get the phrases, thoughts are things. This is where we also get change your thinking, change your life, right? Because it's all of this, it's all about how we think and where, because everything that we see in our lives, everything that we have created in our lives first came from the invisible realm of thought, backed by feeling. And then it comes to fruition by our action. Thought, feeling, action. Right? That's the way it works. In week three, we covered what it does. Now, here we are dealing with a science that is impersonal, right? It's going to work the same. One of the things that we hear in affirmative prayer with this teaching is in the fifth step of affirmative prayer, I release my word into the law, knowing that the law returns of my word back unto me, right? Well, here's the thing. It's always, the law is always working. There isn't any time that it does not work, right? So what we want to do is to become aware of what we are thinking. People say, you've heard this before, right? Is be careful of what you ask for. And I say, why? And they say, because you're liable to get it, right? So be careful of what you ask for. So if we're going to get it, because that's the way the law works, then let's not be careful, right? Let's be aware. Let's not be careful of what we ask for. Let's be aware of what we ask for. See, for because when we say let's be careful, there's an element of fear there, right? There's a you got to be careful, right? No, let's be aware. Now, when we become aware of what we are thinking, when what we're asking for, we are coming to it from a conscious, scientific place, right? We are approaching it scientifically, right? Therefore, you know, that's why we say that the universe is impersonal. It's going to work for everybody. It gives to all alike, right? And as we've heard before, it is no respecter of persons. Dr. Holmes reminds us that it's nature to impart. Its nature is to impart. Ours is to receive. Its nature is to give. Ours is to receive. Again, going back to scripture, it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, right? And for me, the kingdom is ever expanding good. It's not like we have to leave this earth plane and go experience heaven in the clouds and the by and by. No, we are talking about experiencing our good right here, right now, because it is the nature of the divine, it's the nature of life to give. It is ours to receive. So what if we were to make it our nature to receive our good, to receive, our creativity, to accept that we are absolutely supported in all that we do. You see, when we stand in the light, as Dr. Holmes continues, when we stand in the light, we cast a shadow across the path of our own experience, right? Whenever you see a shadow, the shadow is created because there is something that's blocking the light. If the light is here and the shadow is here, what's blocking the light? So let's get out of the light so that the light can shine on everything that we want to experience. In fact, how about this? Instead of getting out of the way of the light, let's start being the light. Let's start being the light. You know, another way that we get to say this and getting out of the way, you know, for it to work for us in the way that we would like, we must, as Emerson reminds us, we must get our bloated nothingness out of the way. Now, this is what I mean, or this is how I interpret that saying, right? Get our bloated nothingness out of the way. Let me get my ego self out of the way. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. What if they talk about me? Oh, no. That's the ego trying to keep us in that little box or the wall that Jill was talking about, how we build these walls brick by brick. Well, what about if we start to take those walls down brick by brick by getting out of the way so that the divine intelligence can show us the way and then move us in the way of itself, right? So now we come to week four, how to use it. Dr. Holmes begins this section by saying, one of the great difficulties in the new order of thought is that we are likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. One of the great difficulties in the new order of thought is that we are likely to indulge in too much theory and too little practice. Man, I can sit and talk about this stuff and I can theorize it all day long until the cows come home. But if I don't put this into practice, it doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, as Dr. Holmes goes on, he says, as a matter of fact, we only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration. We can only know as much as we can prove by actual demonstration. Now, though this is in the Science of Mind textbook, this is nothing new, right? Because we can go back to the book of Malachi, which is in the Old Testament. And Malachi, I believe it's 3:10. And it says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But catch the very first few words. Prove me now herewith. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. And in the beginning of that, the line before that is bring your tithe to the storehouse and prove me now herewith, right? So what we want to do is we want to bring not just our financial gifts, right? We want to bring our gifts. We want to bring our gifts to life. We want to bring our gifts to the world. And then and see if the divine intelligence will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So what we are here to do, my brothers and sisters, we are here to prove it. We are here to prove that there is this divine something that has always been. You know, there is nothing that you can cast your eyes upon that did not come from the mental creations of, call it spirit, call it God, call it Allah, call it whatever you want to call it, but let's call it forth and recognize that everything comes from this divine substance. Wallace D. Waddles talks about that there is a divine substance from which all things are created, right? And its very nature, it permeates, it penetrates, and it fills the interspaces of the universe, which means that the space between the space within the space is filled with this divine principle that creates. This divine principle that creates. So when we open up, remember Holmes' statement to us, right? It works for us by working through us as we become open, receptive, and available, which means that I need to surrender who I think I am. My little Eugene Del Holden, surrendering that to go, wait a minute, there is so much more to that personality. And when we start to surrender the personality, it's interesting that word. Let me just go away for just a minute. The word personality comes from, you know, the word persona, and persona means mask, right? So we are always walking around and we have so many different personalities, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we were created. Personalities are great. And we are more than that. We are so much more than that. So as we start to surrender, getting our bloated nothingness out of the way, now we allow the spirit within us, the God within us, the magnificence within us, I'm going to even use the word, the magic within us to guide us and then to touch the world. I mean, I know that everybody who is tuned in today who heard Jill's voice were touched. I'm back. You couldn't see me, but I'm clapping. I'm like, yes, right? Because allowing that divine creativity of spirit within her to come forth and share her gift like that, you too have a gift that you are here to share. Now, how do we use this? Again, we use this by first recognizing that there is a power in the universe for good greater than we are, and we use it. Right? Now that's, you know, directly, that's a direct quote from Dr. Holmes, right? That there is a power for good in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. So how do we use it? By first recognizing that, right? And then that this thing, call it God, call it whatever you want to call it, is always there, and we are always using it. Whether we are conscious of that fact or not, we are always using it. This is because the all is mind and the universe is mental. Now, because it is always working, we really want to be clear about what we're thinking. It's important to be aware of our thoughts because thoughts are things. Thoughts create our reality. Not only Holmes, not only the Bible, but we hear this from Lao Tzu. We hear this from the Buddha. We hear it in the Bhagavad Gita. We hear it through ancient writings around the world, that how we think and how we feel creates our experiences. So how do we use this? We use it with clarity. We want to be clear on what we want to experience. We want to be clear on what we're wanting to create, right? And we use it with passion. Now, what do I mean by passion? What I mean by passion is you want to feel what you are wanting to create, right? I want to go back to that song, Imagine, right? Imagination. Your imagination is the key to your creativity. Your imagination is key to creation. This is why Albert Einstein said that imagination is more powerful than knowledge, right? Imagination is the preview of things to come. So we want to use it with clarity. We want to use it with passion, right? You know, just imagine a world that works for all. Imagine that there's no hunger. Imagine that people are getting along, and then really, really passionately feel that and make that a daily practice to sit still for 3 to 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, and just sit and imagine, breathe into it and imagine and feel what it would be like if everybody understood who and what they are, not only to themselves, but to everyone else. We use it with clarity. We use it with passion. We use it with conviction, with conviction. Now, I am committed to seeing this. I am committed to using this power within me to touch lives in beautiful and divine ways. And that doesn't have to be anything really huge, right? It can be just a smile, just a simple wave, right? Because we are committed to seeing a world that works for all. We are committed to being that place of love. You know, I love this line, right? That God so loved the world. Now, the way that it's written in the New Testament, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, but what we don't understand is that we are the only begotten, right? God so loved the world that it turned upon itself, clothed itself, and then named itself you. You are the way that spirit shows up. You are the way that love touches the world. You are the light of the world. So we want to use this knowledge with conviction, being inspired to go, yes, I am the one. I am here right now to make a change. And how I'm going to make that change? By golly, I'm going to smile at the next person that I see. Okay, so we are in our homes and we don't want to get out. Cool. Sit down, bring somebody to your conscious awareness and smile. That works as well. Because remember, the all is mind, the universe is mental. And then we want to use it with gratitude. Oh man, gratitude, 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 gratitude. One of the things I like to say is that gratitude is a creative energy that creates more to be grateful for. So in all things, be grateful. So when we are using this, man, number one, to recognize that there is this power within us that is for good, and we get to use it. In fact, we are using it all the time, which is why we are becoming clear on how we use it. And then we use it with passion and with joy and with conviction and with gratitude. With gratitude. Now, when we start using it in this way, there is no fear in consciously using this power. In fact, there shouldn't be any fear in using this power at all. In fact, what there should be, what there is to be is a joy, right? Man, we have thank you, Spirit. We have been fully endowed with this creative intelligence that we get to speak our word and then accept our good. So when we use it, because when we use it from a place of fear, we tend to create that which we fear. For example, some people are afraid of not having enough, not being enough. The universal law, which only responds in the affirmative, will tend to bring to that person's life that which they fear: lack, limitation, not enoughness. Right now, here's the thing. None of this is new, right? Again, we are dealing with the law that corresponds to us by working through us, right? And it always corresponds through our thoughts and our feelings. So we hear about this in the book of Job, going back to the Old Testament, Job 3:25. Now, here's the thing about this, right? Job was reportedly written around 1400 BC. And so in Job 3:25, we read, "For that which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." In other words, Joel's, and when we talk about fear, there's such a feeling of fear, right? And we're only going to attract what we feel. I can think that I am abundant all day long, but if I am feeling lack and limitation, that universal intelligence is going to go with my emotion, it's going to go with my feeling, right? So if we're going to be afraid of anything, then let's be afraid of being opulently abundant. Yes, opulently abundant. So let's just start to focus on what it is that we want to create, right? Now, how do we do this? We do this with the knowing that this mental substance, this mental something, works for us by working through us. We have to remember that we are the thing itself. See, this is why they say that we co-create with the infinite. And in a way, this is correct. We co-create. But I want to submit to you that we are that vehicle through which our world is created. We are the place of creation. We experience through this mental medium that which we create. So as we consciously use this law, this principle, we will find that we are not only lights of power in our personal lives, but we are lights of power in the world. It is time for us to take these laws and principles and prove them for ourselves. So, just don't believe what I say. Don't believe any other teacher that you like or any other books that you, all of that is good. But don't believe me. Try it and prove it for yourself. Try it and prove it for yourself. You cannot make a mistake. You really can't. And if it's a mistake, it's a mistake. So then take it over. Do it over. Take two. Take three. Take five. As Holmes states in this final conclusion in the textbook, he writes, "In conclusion, what the world needs is spiritual conviction followed by spiritual experience." He goes on to say, "I would rather see a student of this science prove its principle than to have him repeat all the words of wisdom that have ever been uttered." I love this part right here. "It is far easier to teach the truth than to practice it." It is far easier to teach the truth than to practice it. We're almost at the end here. Another way we hear this is from the book of James. In the book of James, we read, "But be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves." For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who sees his face in the mirror, for he sees himself and goes away and forgets how he looked. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and abides in it is not merely a hearer of the word, which can be forgotten, but a doer of the work. And this person shall be blessed in his labor. So, remember, you are the thing itself. Be open, receptive, and available to living from that space. That you are the way that light shows up. You are the way that love shows up. Let's pray. Oh, how so very good it is to be in this moment, recognizing that in this moment, in this moment, all needs are met. In this moment, life is fully lived. In this moment, that which I call God is. And so it is in this moment that I recognize that this infinite intelligence that governs the universe is at the very center of all of life. In having no circumference whatsoever, there isn't anything that can, does, or will exist outside of the infinite presence of God, for truly God is all that there is. In recognizing that God is all that there is, because the very nature of the divine is to permeate, to penetrate, and to fill the interspaces of the universe, which means that right where I am, God is, then I know this to be the truth of each individualized expression of God showing up here today. Right here, right now, God is, we are. And so it is in my awareness of our oneness in God that I speak this word. I call forth perfect and divine right activity in everyone's life. Perfect and divine right action is happening right here and right now, which is always in perfect and divine right order. And the result must be perfect and divine right outcome for everybody. So I am calling forth a greater good for each and every one of us to experience this day and in every eternal moment that we call now. I give great thanks for this word because I know that this word is already being returned to us completely fulfilled. I call this answered prayer and I accept that it is done from this place of gratitude. And so it is from this place of gratitude that I release my word, knowing that the law has no other choice but to return these words unto us completely fulfilled. And so fulfilled, we lovingly and joyfully and gratefully allow it to be. I name, claim, and call it good. And so it is. Amen. Take a breath. Peace and blessings.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.